and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And can you say amen? Praise the Lord. What a great service this is. How many here tonight you have felt the presence of the Lord? And when we do feel the presence of the Lord, we respond in different ways. All to the glory of God. But there's one thing that is sure. There has to be a response. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord for the singing, the great singing of the choir. What a message. What a message. The book of Ephesians is a marvelous book, one of the many marvelous books of the Bible. All of them are just great. And in the book of Ephesians, we are introduced to the riches of God. We're introduced to the riches of His grace, the riches of His mercy. Virtues that are deeply relevant to human beings. And in the first verse, the second word is you. And you hath he quickened or made alive. You, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. The entire past, which does not make for good reading, is wiped out. We're justified. We're children of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a new life, all because of Almighty God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. He did not love us when we were good. He loved us when we were terrible. Amen. Scarcely for a righteous man will one die, but peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, we had not indicated to him our desires to serve him, but even without that indication, he died for us. Hallelujah. And because of his sacrificial death, and because we have responded positively to his death, here we are tonight, holding a book called the Bible, lifting feeble hands to move them around to say praise the Lord, and then to feel the immense presence of his strength. We're a privileged people. Really, it's a wonder we don't make more noise. It's really a wonder we don't make more noise. Amen. With the help of the Holy Ghost tonight, I'd just like to preach on that simple word, that word you, Y-O-U. Turn to your neighbor and say you. You. You may be seated, please. Amen. God loves you with a love that you will never be able to fully understand. God is interested in you, and there's no way you'll be able to comprehend the interest that God has in you. God wants you to win. He does not want you to lose. God wants you to win. Indeed, God did not make you for defeat. God made you for victory. You are built by God for God. You are built to praise Him. You are built to have fellowship with Him. And if you're not praising Him, if you don't have fellowship with Him, you're leading a subnormal life. You're built for God. Someone has said that the soul of man is as a God-shaped hole that no one but God can fill. Go anywhere you want to go. Read as widely as you want to read. Ascend the ladder of academic achievement. Go as far as you can go. Without God, you're empty. Without God, you are not what you ought to be. Can you say amen? God made you for heaven, not for hell. He made you for heaven. And He wants you to go. And if you desire to go, nobody can stop you from going because God wants you to go. God made you for success, not defeat. You're a tailor-made success in God. Hallelujah. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you 7 days a week. You can have the victory 24 hours each day. You can have the victory 7 days a week. 365 days a year. You can. Because of God. Amen. 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 And you and I need to cooperate with God. You and I need to obey His precepts. And if we do, we shall win. And I want to win. I want to win. I want to win. And you want to win. And God wants us to win. Therefore, we are going to win. Hallelujah! When God built this church, He built it. He said, upon this rock, I will build My church. And the gates of hell shall not. And when Jesus says, shall not, it shall not prevail against it. I do not care what comes or what goes. This church is going to be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You. Now I believe that God has a point of primary focus. And I do not believe that that point of primary focus is Venus, or Mars, or Jupiter, or the UN, or the IMF, or the World Bank, or the IADB. I do not believe that those are God's points of primary focus. I believe that God's point of primary focus is you. God loves you. He is not preoccupied with hanging out stars. They are there because He placed them there. But He's looking at you. He wants to save you. He wants to enrich your life. He wants to make you strong. He wants to make you powerful. He wants to make you great in Him. Oh, hallelujah. I would like you to open your Bibles and share with us tonight in 1 Peter chapter 5. Beginning at verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Can everybody say amen?
That wasn't strong enough.
That still wasn't strong enough. Submit. not a word that we like. Wives don't like it. Some wives. But it's a biblical word, submit. It says, likewise, the younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. All of you. All of you be subject one to another. You know, brothers and sisters, one of the reasons why we do not have any more of the power of God working in our lives is because we do not understand how authority works. Authority does not work down. It works up. Can I share something with you? In Luke chapter 7, there's a certain man who has a servant who is sick. And he sends messengers to Jesus to talk to the Lord about taking care of the need of his servant. And the man made a profound statement in verse 8. This is what he says. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. I want you to observe first that he says that he is under authority. And because he's under authority, he has authority. And if you are not under authority, you have no authority. Whether you go by the title bishop or elder or deacon or whatever, if you are not under authority, you have no authority. This man was saying, Jesus, I know how authority works because I'm a man under authority. And being a man under authority, I have soldiers under me. And when I come out from under that authority, I have no soldiers under me. That's why Jesus Christ in his humanity had so much authority, because he was under authority. He said, I do always those things that please him. Glory. God baptized us tonight with an understanding of the value of being under authority. This is the world in which you can hardly talk to anybody. Well, I better go on. Let's go back to Peter. And be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud. But giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Casting all. Let's say all. Casting all your care on him. For he saith, careth for you. You are God's point of primary focus. He cares for you. He cares for you. Preacher, he cares for you. New
Glory, 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 glory. My prime minister does not know me. I know him. But he doesn't know me. I know Mr. Bush. He doesn't know me. But I know him. But God knows me. He knows my name. He knows where I live. He has on record the number of hairs in my head. God knows me. God loves me. God cares for me. Boy, that's a message, you know. That is a message. That is a message. In a lonely, disturbed, frustrated, depressed society, it's good to know that God loves me. That God knows me. That God cares for me. And I'm not a number. Patient number so-and-so, in room number so-and-so, attended by doctor so-and-so, being given drug number so-and-so, not for me and God. God knows my name. You. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But, what a big but that is. But, ye are washed. But, ye are sanctified. But, ye are justified. By the Spirit of our God and in the name of the Lord Jesus, you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified. You're not just anybody, you are sanctified, you are justified, you are washed. Oh, glory. The struggle for identity is a real one. There are people the world over who do not know who they are. They struggle to find themselves. But if you're washed, you really know who you are. You really do. You really do. And you do not have to swallow hook, line, and sinker all the styles that emanate from wherever they come from to try to find yourself. You know who you are. Peter says, but ye are a chosen generation. You are. You are. You are. But ye are a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people,
that he should show forth the praise of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We're not ordinary people. We're a royal priesthood. We're a holy nation. We're a chosen generation. We're a peculiar people. God made us that. God made us that. God made us that. You are. You are. You are. You are. Whether you are bespectacled or not, whether you are black or white, rich or poor, you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You, sir, you are God's point of primary focus. Man, this is enough for me to stop and shout. God has a plan for us. And that plan is not defeat. It's not failure. It's not hell. That plan is a glorious plan. Listen to his words. And I want to take time to read his words. Let not your heart be troubled. This is the Lord talking. Let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be baptized with fear, baptized with anxiety, filled with confusion. No, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. For you. For you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you. There you may be also. That's great. So he's coming back for me. He's coming back for me to receive me unto himself. And as Brother David taught this morning about winning Christ, that's what I want to do. That must become my most important priority, to win Christ. He wants me to win him. He's given me the grace, the strength, the wisdom to win him. Nobody can stop me. I am going to win him. Now, God, listen to this. God has always and will always penetrate organizations, man-made machineries, roadblocks to minister to you. Oh, I love that. Nobody can lock God out from you. God will penetrate systems, penetrate human machineries, penetrate governments, penetrate ideologies to touch you, to save you, to fill you, to redeem you, to justify you, to sanctify you. God will. Let me show you one reference from the Bible. This woman had always gone to a well to draw water. The well is in Samaria. She is not the kind of lady that you would want to associate yourself with. Therefore, she, knowing that, would select a time to go to the well when nobody else would go. Jesus knew that. He loved her, and he was interested in her, and he wanted to reach her. So one day, he got there before she did. And when she came, she saw him. I'm not going to go into all the details of the story, but just to lift the point that God really penetrates systems, barriers, to do His work in the human life. There are three barriers that the Lord Jesus Christ had to go through. First of all, He had to go through the sex barrier. She was a woman, a female. In those days, they were not considered too much. But Jesus went through that. Boom. Second thing, she was a Samaritan. And the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. There was a racial problem there. And Jesus went through it. Then there was a religious barrier, because this woman was a religious woman. She talks about our fathers worshipped in the mountain and so on. Jesus went through those barriers and said to her, "Woman, whosoever drinketh up this water shall thirst again. But the water that I shall give you shall be in you a well of water, springing up unto everlasting life." And Jesus Christ is doing the same thing tonight. He's going through barriers to save you, to lift you, to fill you, to glorify you. Yes, He goes through barriers. I want to show you something else from the Word of God as we go on. I know that the story about the three young men who were cast into the fire furnace is a very well spoken about story. But I'd like to show you something here that perhaps you never looked at it from this angle. But Nebuchadnezzar, as the head of Babylon, had one of the most sophisticated governmental structures anywhere. He had princes, he had governors, he had captains, he had judges, he had treasurers, he had counselors, he had sheriffs, and he had rulers. You talk about a structure. Nebuchadnezzar had a structure. Built a little image one day and said to a herald that everybody should worship the image. But there were three boys who said, "Look, we know why we're here. We know whom we have believed in. We know where we're going. And we're not about to worship that image." Well, you know what happened. They did not worship the image. And they were cast into the lake of fire. But God, listen, but God, who cared for them, who loved them, who cared for them, who loved them, penetrated the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, the rulers, and Nebuchadnezzar himself. God penetrated that, and God penetrated the fire and saved them in the fire. My God cares for you. You mean much to God, and He will save you. I want to serve you, notice. United Pentecostal Church of the Connecticut District. God loves this district. God cares for this district. God will penetrate princes, governors, sheriffs to save you. You talk about a fire becoming cool. You know, the intriguing thing about the story is that Nebuchadnezzar got some men to throw them in. And he assigned one man to each young man. And these were not just ordinary men. These were tried, tested, proven. And when the first one picked up Shadrach and threw Shadrach in, he died. Second one picked up Meshach, threw him in. He died. The best thing Nebuchadnezzar had to offer could not even survive outside. But God penetrated the fire and saved them in it. In it. In it. In it. In it. In it. And no trial can break God down. No trial can take His power away. He will save you in it. My God is bigger than the fire. My God is bigger than the thunder. My God is bigger than the lightning. My God is bigger than the water. My God is bigger than pain, bigger than trial, bigger than affliction. My God, my God, my God. Now, here's the conclusion. As God reaches for you, He is not concerned about the color of your skin. He's not concerned about your age. He's not concerned about your marital status. You can be single and be saved. If you're waiting to get married to be saved, you could be lost. In reaching for you, God is not concerned about your educational status or your heritage, whether your father was a preacher, your grandfather was a preacher, because there are just some of us who just never had that. You can't blame me for that. God is not concerned about your talent. You might never be able to play a Yamaha DX7. But you don't have to be able to play one to be used of God. You know what God is concerned about? Your A-T-T-I-T-U-D-E. Faith. Attitude. What was the difference between Esau and Jacob? Was it the fact that Esau was the firstborn? That was the difference. But you know the real difference was in attitude. Esau did not place the appropriate value upon that which was given to him by God through the fact that he was the firstborn and therefore had the birthright. And because he had the wrong attitude to that which was a blessing from God, he lost it. And if you and I can maintain the right attitude to God, the right attitude to the church, the right attitude to the men of God, the right attitude to the things of God, we will go places and nobody can stop us. But if we have the wrong attitude, we're not going to get to first base. We can shout hallelujahs until we fall flat. We're not going anywhere. Hallelujah. But Jacob heard Brother David mentioning it, yearned for that which was good. You and I must yearn for that which is good, for the things of the Spirit, to have a sense of perspective, to have a sense of priority, to not allow material things to mesmerize our minds and call us from the line of priority, but to put things in perspective and say, like Joshua, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Hallelujah. And I have good news for you, young people. I have good news for you, others. God loves you. You are the point of primary focus. He cares for you. He will penetrate systems to heal you. He will penetrate machines to lift you. And thank God, one of these glorious days, He's coming back to receive you unto Himself. Hallelujah. I like to read it because every now and again I think about what that day is going to be like. Paul writing says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed, for this corruptible must, everybody say must, say it again, must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh death, where is thy sting? Oh grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You are special to God. You are loved by God. He cares for you. He has planned success for you. Walk with Him steadfastly, circumspectly. One of these days, we're going home. We're going home. Hallelujah. Keep your attitude to God right. A right attitude to God is an important foundation stone for a healthy and dynamic relationship with God. Young people, reach for the prayer room. Young people, mothers in Zion, fathers, reach for the prayer room. Let's be there with them, to walk with them, to kneel by their side, to place our hands upon them, and pray with and for them. Let's go to the place of worship. Let's sing with tears in our eyes. Let's take just the machine and the mechanics out of it, and let our hearts glow with the grace and the love of God. When we sing the hymns, may there be something rich on the inside, like a well springing up unto everlasting life. When we lift our hands and say hallelujah, may it not just be words, but something that comes from the depth of our soul as we love our God. You, made by God, for God, to prosper in the things concerning Him, to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to commune with Him in the nighttime as well as in the daytime, to have His hand miraculously intervening into your situation, to lift you, to strengthen you, to open doors, to lead you in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Having your life filled with the glory of God, so as you walk the streets, they can say, something is different about that one. He's not just a run-of-the-mill. He's a child of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You.
loathe you. God cares for you. And right now, while I speak, His Holy Spirit stands ready to minister, to massage the weak heartstrings, to massage the mind, and to filter into that mind those sweet and marvelous words of life that will serve to undergird and strengthen you in difficult hours of your life. Let there come forth from Camp 1990 a hunger for God. Let the psalmist, my soul thirsteth for thee, as in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy glory as I've seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee, as thy heart panteth after the water brook. So panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, yea, for the living God. Let's stand. How the Lord would love to consume us tonight with the fire of His Spirit. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I believe that in this audience tonight there are more people who need to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We thank God for those who have already received the Holy Spirit. I believe that in this audience there are young people and older people too who need a renewing in the Holy Ghost. You have worked all year long, and somehow the pressures of life have had the effect of making Jesus seem a little bit in the distance from you. Why don't you come here and let Him wrap His arms around you, and let Him undergird you with His mighty power. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come to me, Lord, with the fire of Your Spirit. Make me more like me. Make me understand the broken pieces of my life. Let me be I'm me. Of my life, let me be used by thee. Everybody else, move in love.
Hallelujah.
With the fire of your spirit, oh, make me more like thee. Broken pieces of my life, let me be used, Lord, by thee.